a big question. Lord, I pray that you would take away all the distractions, Lord, that we have today. And I ask, Lord God, that you would just really work in our hearts and our minds. And I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So we're going to pick up very quickly this morning. And we're going to talk about, you know, our series, right, which is Facing Our Foes. And isn't there, like, a lot of obstacles in our life that we wrestle with and struggle with? You know, we talked about some of them, right? Depression, bitterness, forgiveness, anger, all those kinds of things. And they all hit us kind of right where we live. And we're going to continue to do that. But I want to just remind us, right, they're all enemies that often defeat us. But by the grace of God, the only way to fix that is God needs to change us. So we need to understand and be willing to have God change us to be more like Jesus. So today we're going to talk about kind of a little play on words here, speech therapy. And, you know, many times people maybe have an accident and they need speech therapy. They're struggling to learn how to speak. They need speech therapy. Most of us here, we know how to speak, but we sure need some speech therapy. So we're going to dive into that this morning as we think about it. I want to throw this out and kind of introduce this idea. Poor communication abounds in our families, our churches, and our world. You know, as we read the scripture today, what kind of forest a little fire kindles and burns down? And look what happens in our media. Words come out, and it is like a forest fire in our country and in our world. And I'll throw this out. These kind of words just wreak havoc on our relationships, our productivity, and numerous other areas of our lives. And I'm going to throw this out. As a follower of Christ, can we improve our communication? What do you think? Yes, indeed. And we can limit the chaos, and we're going to just look at God's word. And that word comes from the scriptures and from a song. Wouldn't it be great if our words would be like a healing balm to the relationships that we have? Versus, you know, you guys know how you have a barbecue, you kind of spray that fire starter on it. You know, it just takes a little, throwing a match on, it's like, whew. A lot of times our words are like that. Wouldn't it be great if our words could be a healing balm to the issues of life that we face and the relationships that we have? And that's what we're going to look at today. So we're going to just give you the eternal truth. I hope you can walk away with this, but get this in our minds, right? Poor communication leads to poor relationships. You know, if you're married, right, you can't talk to your spouse once in a while. You got it's a dialogue that goes on and on and on about all the issues of life, big and small. So you know what? We need some speech therapy, and we're gonna deal with that this morning. So I want to take a minute today, and there's that word, right? Communicate. Seems so easy, right? Communicate. By the way, anybody ever say this? I told them. Anybody, raise your hand. Anybody say it? I told them. And I don't know what they were doing, but I told them. Right? Communication is tough. It's challenging. And I want to dig in this morning, by the way, turn to James chapter 3. We're going to look at that first this morning. But there's this, like, inherent problem with words and our tongue. You know, and it's not that we stutter. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we have a hard time, you know, saying things the right way. Anybody study with pronunciation? Anybody struggle with that? Pronunciation can be hard, right? You know, depending upon where you came from, what kind of dialect, what kind of way you talk, that's a challenge. But the way that we say things is really a big issue. We're going to dive into that. I want you guys to get this in your minds, right? Your tongue, everybody look up, your tongue is not disconnected from your heart. And by the way, turn my cordless on, if you would, please. Number 4, I'm rewired, so I should not be a snap, crackle, and pop today, I hope. But your heart is connected to your tongue. You know, you go, not directly, it's not. Well, boy, everything that comes out of your heart affects your tongue, right? We'll look at that. And then I want to talk about, the Bible gives us in the book of James this really clear layout of effective communication. And I'll say it this way, godly effective communication. So we're going to jump in and look at those things. So let's just dig in real fast. And by the way, see if you can agree with what I'm saying. So check this out. This is James chapter 3. Moses read that so well to us, so serious. And it's kind of a deep passage. You know, James, by the way, is Jesus' brother. He spoke these words. And look what he says. He says, my brethren, by the way, that means ladies and men, all y'all, my brethren, right? Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And by the way, let me stop. John was just asking for teachers. I'm sorry, John. But here's the deal. God's not saying, don't be a teacher because you're such a mess. God's saying, be cautious, be a teacher, but allow God to change your life and make it be what God wants it to be. Make your life look like Jesus, not like Gary or some other crazy at First Baptist Church, right? So check it out. So he says, knowing that we'll receive a stricter judgment. And look what he says, and by the way, we can relate to this, for we all stumble in many things. Amen? Anybody have a fight this morning in words? You're in church, so don't lie. I'm only kidding, right? All right, not yet. Maybe it's coming after church, right? But we all stumble. And it says, if anyone does not stumble in word, check it out. It says, he's a perfect man. He's totally mature. So guess what? All of us we wrestle with words. And I'll throw this out. It's not just the words that we say. It's the how we say them. It's the attitude that we use, the inflection that we use. You know, one of our challenges, we have lots of words that come out on digital media today. Well, you can't understand always the way that they're said. You just see them there. Right? Someone might say, you're wrong. Or are they saying, you're wrong? Or are they saying, oh, you're wrong, I think. You understand the difference? Like, we can't really read that in a text message really well, right? But the challenge is, the way we do those things really matter. And he says this, he says, everyone stumbles, and if you don't stumble, you're a perfect man. By the way, is anybody here perfect? You know, I'll throw this out. A bunch of us, how many folks, by the way, here are teachers or educators in some way? By the way, Pastor Ansu had to leave. He's involved in a Liberian association. They're having a church meeting in Philly today. So he ran out. He's not mad or anything like that. His tongue's okay. He's good. And Verna too. But they had to run out, and they're doing some great things, so we praise God for them. But, you know, check this out. We all stumble. Nobody here is perfect. And here's the funny thing. You know, in a sense, you guys pay me to be a good communicator. I wish I could do it at home as good as I do from the pulpit. Sometimes, anyway, right? I wish I could do it with people as good as I need to. Maybe sometimes you shouldn't pay me at all. I guess it seems like it's crazy how I mess it up. But so do we all. So do we all. Dennis, don't say amen, Dennis. I saw you. Right? Communication is hard, right? And look what he says. It says, you know, a perfect man is able to bridle the whole body. In other words, have self-control. You know, a bridle on a horse, you could turn his head left and right. Pull it back means stop, I think. Man, we can do that, but boy, we have a hard time controlling our mouth. You know, we say this sometimes, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. By the way, please don't do that because you may not have as much there as you think you can give, right? So we got to be careful how we do that, right? That's me too, right? Sometimes I get all angry and, you know, I'm just going to share foolishness, not anything real good, right? So he says this, indeed we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And they turn their whole body. Look also at ships, and he gives this illustration, right? The rudder on a ship is a fraction of the size of the ship, isn't it? It's just a small, small thing. And yet it turns like, you know, a ship that could be 3 football fields long, that small rudder is able to do that. And by the way, everybody think about this. Your tongue is kind of like that. And I'm just going to skip down to the rest of this and just use this as an illustration. Take us down there, if you would, please, to the next slide. Thank you so much. Look what it says about the tongue. It says the tongue is a fire. And by the way, in a serious way, thinking about the world that we live in today, politically, nationally, internationally, someone says something and you know, bombs drop, fire goes, people are upset, protests happen, everything happens on the word of someone's mouth. And I say this, a lot of times our leaders need to clean up their mouth, right? For sure. And we all need to follow in that way too, because sometimes then we parrot the foolishness. You know, we say the same incendiary things and it blows up our world too. So, you know, as the Church of Jesus Christ, man, we have a lot of power to change things. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's changing us to be instruments of change to do good and to do what God wants. And look, he says this in the text. He says, it's a world of iniquity. It really is, right? The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. By the way, remember Jesus said this in Matthew? Remember the Jews were worried about what they eat because they didn't want to defile their body? And what did Jesus say? What defiles your body is what comes out, not what goes in. He said everything you take in is going to come out, you know, in our normal bodily processes. But what comes out of our mouth is what defiles the body. And it sets the whole world on fire and our whole world on fire too, right? And he says this, by the way, on the tongue. He says, it is set on fire. By the way, you read this really well, Moses. He kind of inflected this. He said, your tongue is set on fire by hell, not by God. God's not looking to have you be a flamethrower when you speak, right? God's not looking for that. So it really does speak to us. And he says, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And that's pretty true. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. By the way, no one can tame the tongue in your fleshly power. But God can tame our tongues. And it says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude. The idea there is the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? And by the way, what's the answer? No. So your tongue shouldn't be, you know, shooting out evil on one side and good on the other. You know, like we have to do better than just be good on Sunday. We have to be good the rest of the week with our tongues, right? So I want to ask a question. What is going on here? And I'm going to ask it this way. How many people here have a problem with their tongue? Yeah, right? And by the way, some of you guys are like, you know, right? But, you know, I remember a guy in Manasseh said that in a sermon, right? He said that one time. He put up his hand like, you know. But we struggle, right? We struggle with our words and how we say them, right? So what is going on here? And that's what I want to talk about. Simplifying the issue is, we got to focus on the problem with your mouth, and it's not your mouth. And remember Jesus said this, by the way, a little while back in the Gospels. He said, if your hand offends you, what did he say? Cut it off, chop it off, right? If your eye offends you, put it out. Did Jesus want us walking around with one arm and no eyes? No, he's kind of saying this to say this. The issue is on the inside. It's our hearts. And the Bible says this, right? In Proverbs, you know, the wisest man in the world wrote Solomon. He said, keep your heart, like protect, watch over your heart with all diligence and power, for out of it springs the issues of life. So everything we do really comes out of the motivation of our hearts. And Jeremiah said this, just kind of chasing it through scripture. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I want to throw this out. As believers, let me ask this as a question. And by the way, I'm not trying to like put you on the spot, make you feel embarrassed, but I'm just trying to be real, right? And every time I ask you for those questions, my hand ought to be up too, because I'm a mess too. I have a different job. I get to teach God's word, but I struggle with the same stuff you do, right? Pastor Andrew too, the deacons, we all a mess, right? But here's the deal. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, it says, who can know it? Have you ever been surprised at what came out of your mouth? Right? Yeah, right? Like, whoa, where did that come from, right? Holy cow. What happened, right? And the point I want to make to you guys is, right, and we laugh because it's kind of convicting of all of us. Here's the crazy thing. Your heart, your fleshly heart, your human heart, your sin nature still wants to be number one, still wants to do its own thing, still wants to have its own way. And that's where that comes from. It comes out. And you know, we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago. I remember hearing this phrase. It's kind of in your life, right? What you feed grows. Now, you got plants at home. Don't water them. Don't feed them. They die. Water them and feed them. They grow. In our life, and the Bible says this in Galatians, it says, if we kind of feed the Spirit, it really grows up unto everlasting life. But if we feed the flesh, it just goes to destruction. And here's the deal. We spend most of our week feeding the flesh. We need to get cleansed every single day by the word so we feed our spirit and look at things right and think about things right. And it says, the Lord searches our heart, tests our minds, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So out there, everybody look up for a sec. So a lot of us said, yep, I was surprised when some things came out of my mouth. Well, I want to say this, right? And this, by the way, this is me talking to me too. Me too. And you know what? That is a revelation of the issues in my heart. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness and bitterness. We talked about anger. You know, we talked about not being satisfied, depression, some of those things. Well, guess what? Those are the things that are swirling around in your human heart. And by the way, when I say heart, I mean your mind, that inner person that motivates and drives all of you. Those are the things that are causing these things that surprise us to come out. And Proverbs said this too. It said, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. So when I speak good things, man, it's like speaking life into people. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. You know, when I'm just picking at everything and yelling at everybody and, you know, the bitterness of my heart is coming out at you, it just causes violence. And I'll be honest, right? In our world, what do we see? We see exactly that. By the way, you might say, well, not my party, on all parties, right? One says this, one says that, and we start to fight, you know, about things probably that don't ultimately make a difference in some cases, right? So one of our challenges, right? So I want to just share this with you guys. Jesus talked about this a little bit. So just to be clear, everything that Solomon said, everybody else said, this is what the Lord says. Word of God, speak to us today, right? Help us understand this, right? So the point of focus is the heart. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. And check this out. A tree is known by its fruit. You know, if you see an apple tree, you look at what's on it. What's on it? Apples, right? You see a peach tree, what's on it? Peaches. They don't share. There's one or the other there, right? And he said this, by the way, to the Pharisees. And by the way, the Lord knew how to speak. And he spoke in just the way people needed it in terms of conviction. And the Pharisees, they're sometimes a lot like us fundamental Christians. They're a little bit hard-headed. They think they've arrived, they're there, they keep the law, they do things right. And he told them, he said, brood of vipers. You know what that means? All you snakes. By the way you act. And he says, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everybody look up for a second. Get that in your mind. Out of the abundance of your heart. In other words, out of what overflows out of your heart, that's what comes out of your mouth. And by the way, just so you're clear, yeah, that, Pastor Gary, that's what comes out your mouth too. Right? So the Lord says, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And then he kind of gives us a warning. He said, but I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account for it in the day of judgment. For
By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. I want you guys to think about this with me for a second. Go in that train of thought. Why would we be condemned by our words? And if I look back at 1 Samuel 15, it says, God isn't like a man. Man looks at the outside. God looks at the heart. Why would our words condemn us? Put the pieces together for me. Why? Because the words come from our hearts. And here's the deal. If we stop, we can almost like stop there and say, okay, let's do communion. that's the problem, right? We got to fix our heart. By the way, with God's help in the power of the Holy Spirit and with the word of God, we got to say to God, you know what? There's a mess in my heart, and I have to say, God, it's real. I confess it. I agree with you. And God, please cleanse me from that unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, right? We need to tell God those things. And that's a good starting place for us so we can move forward. By the way, Luke chapter 6 says virtually the same thing. So I want to stop for a second and think. So we know, by the way, everybody just help me so I understand where you are. What's the problem with our speech? Say it out loud. Don't be shy. Our heart, right? Our heart's the problem with our speech, right? It's not my mouth. It's not the lip gloss I have on. It's not what I ate today. It's none of those things. It's our heart is a mess, and it needs cleaning up in the power of God by His Holy Spirit and His Word, right? That's the problem. So here's the thought. I want you guys to jot these down, right? These important notes to kind of think through. Check this out. We got to simplify. So what is the process of good communication or godly communication? What is the process? And by the way, here's the first step. The first step in communication that we all need to get better at, and I'll throw this out, this is a struggle for me. I talk for a living, so when I talk to people, sometimes I talk over them, I complete their sentences, I don't listen. Anybody like that with me? Anybody type A like me? You're trying to tell me something, and I'm trying to say your words for you, right? You know, and that's no good. It doesn't help. You know, like you could ask Jane. That's not a helpful thing, right? So, and check out what the Lord says. Through Solomon in Proverbs, he wrote this phrase. He says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame to him." So we're gonna communicate better. What do we gotta do? Write this on your notes. We gotta listen. We got to hear what people are saying. I'll throw this out. How many times people come to us to tell us something and we already made up our mind before we even heard what they're going to say? We're already mad at them from last week, so we're just going to say, this is what we're going to do. Right? Can I get an amen? Right? Isn't that true? Right? It's true, right? So this is the issue, right? We got to listen. We got to be better listeners than we are talkers. And, I'll throw this out. This is kind of like an old adage. Just to kind of help you, I think maybe God figured it out this way. How many tongues did he give you? And mouths, he gave you one, right? How many ears did he give you? So you can hear on both sides, right? Not speak on both sides, but you can hear on both sides. You know, God wants us to listen, right, to these things. Listen good, right? And look at the book of James. Look what it says. And by the way, this is a very operational passage. And you know, we read the book of James. James is a very practical, deep book. James, the brother of Jesus, writes this in this chapter. He says, "So then, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every man," and would you guys read it out loud for me? What does it say? "Be swift to hear." In other words, you're not just kind of teeing up what you're going to say. You're not thinking about how you're going to answer. You're listening swiftly to what people are saying, so that you really understand what is going on. You know, before you just blast them or say something that doesn't make sense, right? "Let every man be swift to hear." And by the way, check out the next part. Can you read it with me? "Slow to speak." I don't know about you. I can speak really fast. Barbara Smingo, when we do the business meetings, she's like, "Can you slow down?" Right? I can speak really fast. But that's not always really good or really helpful or really godly. So it says, be slow to speak. Like, listen, process, think about it, even pray about it, run what you hear through the grid of Scripture and then answer it in a biblical way, not in an angry way. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah, by the way, sometimes, do you have to answer every question immediately? Boom. No, right? Sometimes you say, you know what? Let me think about this. Let me pray about this. And I'm going to get back to you. You know, it's a serious problem. I'm not going to get back to you a month from now, but I'm going to get back to you. I just need time to digest and understand and process what you are saying. By the way, I want to say this for parents. And this is a big thing. And in our lives too, right? We have three kids. They're all different. Is it important for us to really listen to hear what they are saying? You know, I grew up in a generation that said children were to be seen and not heard. Remember that, right? Some of your parents are saying, amen, right? But here's the deal. In this generation, I'm not going to speak to that one, but in this generation, we need to hear for real what they are saying. Because what they are saying reveals what's in their hearts, their fears, their struggles, their problems, the things that they feel hopeless about. We need to hear what those kids are saying so that we can bring them to a place of hopefulness, not hopelessness. Right? There's some, you know, awful things that go on in the lives of our children. We need to hear them, right? You know, see what they're saying. And by the way, look what the next thing he says is, be slow to wrath. Just so you get an idea, just define in terms. You guys know what wrath is? It's like explosive anger. And I don't know how many times. Has anybody had a great conversation when they had a lot of wrath? Anybody had a great conversation? Anybody do anything amazing when you're really, really hot and angry? It's usually, you're just getting ready to have to apologize later when you start to deal with stuff angrily. But how many times did we do that? Again, we've got to look at the heart, right, is the problem, right? So I just want to challenge you guys and jot this down. And by the way, look what Jesus says. He says, if any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and this one's religion or faith is useless. And, you know, I'll just read the above verse I skipped over. He said, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And he says this, you know why we ought to be slow to wrath? Because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. I can't think of an occasion in my life when I've been mad in the flesh that has done anything good. And I want to challenge us that. That's kind of where we live our lives, all right? We do a lot of things when we're hot, and it doesn't really help. It just sets the forest on fire, like James chapter 3 said. So get the process, right? Say it with me, right? Listen, keep quiet, and focus, and don't get angry. Like, that's the key, right? Summarizing all those verses, listen, keep quiet, and focus, and don't get angry. That's going to help our communication a whole bunch, right? So we're going to slide down, and we're going to pick up four things, right, that I want you guys to walk away with. Listening, by the way, is sort of sets the table. Now we're going to deliver the entrees now, right? So here they are, right? So a pathway to godly communication. And kind of jot these down, right? First one is be honest. And you might say, I'm always honest. We'll see. I thought I was too. Past tense, right? Here's the next thing. Keep current. That doesn't mean read the paper. Keep current. And here's one. How about this one? Attack the problem, not the people. We're good at doing the attack on the people, right? And usually that's driven by our heart, our anger. And then how about this one? Act. I'll throw this out. The Holy Spirit is what? In control of us if we listen. So no matter what's going on around you, act like Jesus. Don't react. And by the way, here's an example. If someone ran up in the front, they said, Pastor Gary, this message on communications just got me so burned up. Right? And they run up here and they try to take a swing at me. right? If I react, what am I going to do? I'm gonna give him one right back. Go sit in your pew, brother. Right? That's not going to be helpful. But if I act like Jesus, I could kind of react to the swing. I could duck. I'll share a funny story. Years ago, me and Guy, and I can't remember a couple other people, we went to visit someone who was in hospice. By the way, they later came out of hospice, which was amazing. Lived for like 3 years, but they were not in their right mind. And this person, and he was like a lovely guy. He was like one of our workers around church for years. He was very mechanical, could do all kinds of things. He said, we walk in, not sure what to expect. And he says, Pastor Gary, come here. So I said, okay. And he in the bed, he literally tried to like kick me like that. And I was a little younger then and a little quicker, so I was able to avoid the foot. But it was like so startling, like what in the world, right? So I say that to say this, right? And by the way, he actually did kick his nurse right in the head. It's crazy how it happened, right? And again, you don't know, people sometimes not in their right mind, you don't know what they're gonna do, and their strength is, you know, really strong a lot of times. But I want us to understand, right? God wants us to act, not react. And we talked about this a long time ago. As Christians, right, there's a better word. Christians respond thoughtfully, right? When we're walking in the Spirit. When we're walking in the flesh, we react physically, not thoughtfully. So we're going to dig in real quick on those, and then we're going to do the Lord's table. So check it out. Take us down, if you would, please. There we go. So here's the first one. Be honest. Go with me over to the book of Ephesians. This is sort of the other chapter that helps us figure this out. And I'll just say this real fast. Remember this chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, and we kid around, we give it different names, call it the Ephesians Boutique. But the issue is, as believers, and you could read the passage before, verses 17 to 24. The passage before says, it doesn't make sense for us as believers to live life the way we used to live life. We got to live in a new way. We're new creatures. We need to put on Christ, and we need to put off. And you guys got mad at me 2 weeks ago. I hope it's not still true. Remember we said we got to put off the old grumpy man. And the part that got me in trouble is when I said the old grumpy woman, right? But we got to put the flesh off, right, so that we act like Jesus. We got to put the flesh off of us, right? So that's kind of what precedes this passage about communication. And by not just about communication, but about living life. And look what he says here. The starting point when I put the new man in Jesus Christ on, the starting point is this, right? He says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So here's the deal. Lying, right? And you might say, well, when I confront people, I talk to people, I'm not lying. But here's the deal. You ever guys hear what a fish story is? You know what a fish story is? Anybody a fisherman or a woman, fisherwoman? How big was the fish? Oh, man. You should have saw that fish. You know, the fish reality was like this big. You should have saw that fish. Oh, it almost pulled me into the ocean. Right? And I want to throw this out. Here's what I'm talking about. Maybe we don't lie in a bold-faced, outward way where we just make up things. But we do what? We accentuate the truth. We embellish the truth. We make the truth work for what we want out of the equation. Anybody do that? We do it, right? You ever hear this phrase? They used it in corporate America. I remember this in corporate America when I was there, right? They use what they call spin control. In other words, I can spin something that I know you're going to hate in such a way that you're going to like it. And it's going to get me what I want, right? I can use certain words or say a certain way, and you're going to go, oh, that's pretty good. You're losing your job. Oh, that's pretty good. Right? No, that's not too good. Right? But that's the idea. And we do that. So sometimes the way we say things, and we say them angry, you know, we're taking a molehill and making it into a mountain, right? We're not really speaking the truth. And that's kind of the key thing. And the Lord says that. He says, but speaking the truth, by the way, in love, we may grow up into all things unto him who is the head, Christ. And I want to throw this out real quick. When we speak the truth, right, if we speak things in love, if I really love a brother or sister or my kids or my wife or whoever it is, the idea is what? I want them to be transformed, to change, to grow in God's grace, to be who God wants them to be. I care about them. I want them to be successful. Like, doesn't that change how I talk to them? And it changes how I speak to them, honestly or not. And someone said this once. They said, if you don't speak the truth in love, it's probably not truth. In other words, it's exaggerated. You always do this. You never do this. You ever hear people talk like that? I'm sick of it. You know, you hear people talk that way? By the way, those three sentences, is that a great way to deal with an issue? Ever? Not really, right? But by the way, doesn't that come out of our mouths sometimes? So we got to do what? Check the heart. Something's not right there. Something's going on. Something's happening, right? And Galatians says this, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, like you're going to talk about somebody, maybe your kids or your friend, somebody else in church, they're involved in some kind of sin, you think, right? It says, you are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, right? So again, I just want to challenge us, honesty, right? Speaking the truth in love, and I want you guys to check our hearts, right? Am I speaking in love or am I just really hot and mad? Big difference. Be honest about what's going on. And I encourage us, be honest with yourself, right? So context is the Ephesians boutique. We said it, take off, put on. And by the way, here's three things to take with us, right? Before we said what? Listen, right, was a big one, right? This one was where we started out. Right here, this one is speak. Speak the truth and speak it with love. And if that's not what's happening, maybe end the conversation until you can get it together better, right? That's an important thing. So honest, be honest, right? How about the next one? Be honest is good. And take us down one if you would, please. I'm not sure why my clicker is not clicking. I'm getting ready to get mad at my clicker. Go back to B, letter B, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just a little slow. So here's the next one. Keep current. By the way, this is not current events, you know, in terms of knowing what's going on, but this is you keeping current with what's going on in your life. In other words, and look what the scripture says. Everybody check it out. Read it with me. Be angry and what? Do not sin. Okay, and we got to be careful, though, because I know the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So I got to be careful. If I'm angry, hopefully I'm angry at what's happening in our world that is not godly, or what's happening in my family that's not godly, but I'm not just angry at man or people or anything else, right? So it says, be angry and do not sin. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's a great expression. And you know what the idea of that is? That's the idea of keeping current. If you're got an issue that is making you angry, remember, wrath is what? Explosive anger. What do we say in our culture a lot? Oh, it's just going to blow over. And I want you guys to be honest with me. Does your anger just blow over? What does your anger usually do at some point? It blows up. Because here's the deal. Somebody wrongs you, and you go, you kind of start to say, I'm not sure I like that person. Right? Even in church. Oh, I don't like the way he does that. And you start to go over that in your mind over and over and over. And then the next time they do something else, add it to the pile. We keep thinking about that too, right? Before long, your brother or your sister in Christ, you don't even like them anymore. You're thinking they ought to go to a different church, right? That's the problem, right? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because here's what happens. When you speak to them, especially in maybe a challenging situation, what comes up? All that lack of forgiveness, all that lack of bitterness, all that anger, And let me ask the question, is that going to solve very much? Not at all. By the way, this works at home, right? Husbands, wives, you're angry at that old geezer. You know what? Hey, you got to deal with your heart first. You know, husbands, you know, you're angry at your wife for whatever reason. Got to deal with our heart first, right? So, and here's the deal. Is anger bad? What do you think? I think humanly we think yes. We like to say anger is sin. Anger is not sin, but what you do with it as a human often leads to sin, right? But anger is like energy. You know, in God's anger, he sent Jesus to the cross so we all could be forgiven. Anger is energy to be used in solving problems, and I put this on there, not creating more. So anger ought to get us to say, no, I got to address this issue. It motivates me. It drives me. It helps me to work through stuff, think through stuff in a good way. That's why God wants us to use our anger. But here's the problem. Anger used unbiblically attacks others or even ourselves. If I'm just mad, man, I'm just taking people out. You know, I'm just letting them know what I think and how I feel. You know, we say things like, well, I'm just being honest with you. You know, right? You know, and we kind of sugarcoat it, you know, for us that we feel like we're still good, but we're not. And I'll throw this out. Failure to solve today's problems today is sin. Because God says to us, by the way, get this down. God says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And there's no exception. Well, you don't know my husband. There's no exception. It's just a direct statement. Don't let it happen this way. I'll throw this out just to kind of give us clarity. Doesn't mean sometimes, anybody ever been so angry you just need to step away for a second? So don't let the sun go. The sun doesn't go down until 8 o'clock tonight, right? Got a little time. If you're so burning hot that, you know, just touching you burns my hand, it's probably not the time to address these issues, right? You need to kind of step back. Look at the word, pray, quiet yourself down, get a hold of yourself by the grace of God, remember who you are, and then you address the issue. But what we don't do is address the issue 2 months from now after more things have happened and I'm even more angry than I was before. Make sense? That's the idea. And I'll throw this out. When we don't deal with today's problems today, it opens up the door to resentment. Because we just keep thinking about it. I'm not sure I picked the right wife. I know I've been married to her for 37 years, but maybe I messed up. Like these crazy ideas come into our minds, right? That don't help, right? Or I've been married to her for 10 years, you know, whatever it is, right? But you don't want to think that way. But if you don't deal with today's issue, we have this whole mountain of issues that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and making me madder and madder and madder, and it's just not going to work in my communication. Right? And hatred is part of that. It really endangers our relationships. And I'll throw this out. Remember we said anger doesn't blow over, or resentment doesn't blow over, bitterness doesn't blow over, it blows up. Well, here's the challenge. A lot of times it blows up. The person you're angry at will do just one more little thing, and it's like they committed like a felony. Do you understand? And that's not what it's supposed to be. So we blow things way out of proportion. But if we just talked about it, we might understand what they're thinking and why they did what they did. Does that make sense? That's what God wants us to do. So here's the moral of that story, right? Solve today's problems when? Today. You know, if it happens at midnight tonight, you know, solve it, you know, next day. But get it done, right? Don't let it fester and build, right, is the idea. So here's the next one, right? How many people do this, right? We attack problems, not people. And look what Ephesians says, and Paul wrote this. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Everybody look up for a sec. Anybody have any corrupt words this week? Right? But he says, but here's what should come out of our mouth. The things that are good for necessary edification, building someone up positively. That's what ought to be coming out of our mouth, right? And it says that it might impart grace to the hearers. Everybody, by the way, just stop for a second. Think about that for a minute. Does your speech impart grace to the ears? Grace is unmerited favor. You know, grace, by the way, doesn't hurt. It doesn't feel like lightning. It doesn't feel like stabbing. It doesn't feel like any of those things. Grace is like love kind of in action, right? So our words ought to feel like that. They shouldn't hurt every time we say them, right? And he says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Because when we do those things, right, we literally grieve the Holy Spirit that's trying to help us work the right way. You know, it saddens him, right? So get this in our minds real fast, right? Unwholesome words, by the way, I don't just mean cursing, but how you say whatever you say. Cursing is, of course, bad as well, right? Unwholesome words attack character. They bypass the real issue. You never do this, you know, those kind of things. The real issue is something else, but we're just dealing with the surface stuff, right? They bypass that issue and they grieve the Holy Spirit. Edifying communication encourages, builds up, centers on people taking responsibility. Isn't that the idea a lot of times, even in marriage, like a spouse is mad with the other spouse? A lot of times, why? Because that spouse is not fulfilling his responsibility or her responsibility. And that's what we want to fix, right? We don't want to just get rid of them or get them mad or cause war. We want to kind of fix what's going on so it works better and we all can grow. And focuses on unbiblical thinking and behavior. So we want to kind of focus on what does God say about what's happening, not just because I'm dissatisfied myself. And then we need to seek to understand goals and motives, right? So boom, next. We're going to go down one more screen. Here we go. Go back one if you would, sweetheart. Thank you. Go back. Here it is, right? Act and don't react. So remember, Christians do what? We respond. In other words, we act. We're going to do what's right, even if the situation isn't right. That's what God wants us to do, right? So it says, and check out what Paul wrote in Ephesians. He says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Holy Spirit sealed us until Jesus comes back or until we meet him in heaven, right, when we die. But look what he says. He says, and by the way, here's the challenge. Can we do this? If I want to fix my mouth, this is what I got to do. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let's just qualify this. I kind of tried to define it for a second. So reactions of the flesh that I got to put away. So you guys, this is sort of what we got to do, right? Here's the first one. Get rid of bitterness. I spelled that wrong. A lack of real forgiveness. That means forgiveness, right? A lack of real forgiveness. That's what bitterness is. You know, I say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, but I really don't. I'm just waiting to kind of build the case against you next time you do the same thing or another thing. So bitterness, got to put that away. Get rid of bitterness, really forgive, like we talked about a couple sermons ago. Next one is wrath. Got to put it away. Like, we as Christians should not be known as hotheads who are, like, explosive. Was Jesus explosive? Remember, Simon Peter cut off the high priest's ear. What did Jesus do? He put it back on, right? Jesus is not known to be explosive. He's always controlled by the Holy Spirit, right? So we want to put off these flaring outbursts of wrath. How about anger? We got to deal with our anger. And by the way, anger, in this Greek word kind of defines it real tight, anger is more like you're mad and it's inside you. It's like the slow burning fire that we keep adding sticks on until it's really raging and then it turns into an outburst of wrath. Right? Makes sense, right? And then clamor, harsh contention, harsh words, accusations, you know, that's the kind of thing. Put those off. Slander, speech that injures. We all did it, right? Have you ever hurt somebody with your words? Remember, I grew up as a kid. I had all these adages, right? It said, sticks and stones will break my bones, but what names will never hurt me, right? Well, guess what? Words hurt. And they leave lasting hurt and problems, right? So it's true, right? That's the problem. And then how about this one? Malice. And y'all been here, right? I'm not accusing you. I'm talking about myself. Did you ever think in your heart sometimes the desire, and I spelled that wrong too, the desire to hurt others? Did you ever sometimes say, you know, I want that guy to suffer a little bit? You ever thought that? He ought to, or we say it this way, we say, he's going to get his. Right? And we kind of want that, right? That's not what the Lord is looking for. We got to put that stuff off. And then what we got to put on is this, kindness, being benevolent. You know, we say this, that the deacons have a benevolence fund where we give people, sometimes if they're in a dire situation, we give them money. We don't have no strings attached. We may or may not get it back. But we say, we love you. We want to help you. Here it is, right? We got to put on benevolence. We got to be helpful, courteous, right? What's tenderhearted? Being compassionate, sympathetic. We read that in Galatians, considering yourself also. Think about that. And I remember one time we had, as a deacon board, we had a real issue in our church, and someone said this. They said, what would you want us to do if that person were you? That's compassion. That's love, right? That's where we need to be at, right? Sympathetic to what's going on. Forgiveness, right? We learn forgiveness, right? I don't know if you guys remember. I'm going to remind you, right? What's forgiveness all about? Cancel the debt and what? That was weak. Cancel the debt and let it go, right? Cancel the debt and let it go. Cancel the debt and let it go, right? That's what we got to do. That's what we have to put on, forgiveness, real stuff like that, right? So we're done. So what are some starting points for you and me? What do we need to do? By the way, did any of those verses, you don't have to raise your hand, but I would imagine what you heard from God's word kind of struck some chords in your life. It did for me. I'm like, dang. You know, and by the way, we always think we're further along than we are. So some chords got struck. So here's some things to think about, right? I want you guys to think about this. Would you guys take a minute this week to look at your communication and analyze it and look at your heart, your thoughts, your words, your behavior with the people that you're wrestling with and struggling with? Would you guys do that? Then here's the second part. Recognize we are wrong a lot of times. Confess means agree with God and repent of that sin against others, right? Pray. Seek help to forgive, deal with bitterness, and to speak the way we ought to speak, right? Apply what we learned. And I went through this. And by the way, this is the end verse. I'll go down to it real quick. You might say, well, that's just me. You know, if my Irish gets up, then I can't control myself. Or if my Liberian gets up, you watch out. Right? Or I'm going to pick on Rosemary. If my Polish or Ukrainian get up, watch out. Right? No. Sin has nothing to do with your ethnicity or your nationality. We all got just the right. We all got just the same amount of that, right? But here's the deal: we can change, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. We are going to pray, and we're going to ask our deacons to come up, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. And I want to say this: you know what? We celebrate the Lord's table to remember that Jesus died to forgive all of our sins and to give us the opportunity and the ability to live a different life on earth, and to have a hope, a confident hope of eternity in heaven. Amen. Lord God, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in us in powerful ways to really change us in the way you would want. Lord, help us as we come to your table now, Lord, just to recognize the love, the sacrifice, the understanding, Lord, that you have as our God to send Jesus to save us from our sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to enable us, Lord, to have a home in heaven and a day-to-day relationship and walk with you, with the Holy Spirit indwelling our body and our heart. And Lord, I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So our deacons are going to come. I want to encourage you guys, stop for a second. We kind of changed communion around. We're finally past pandemic communion where we just hand it out. But as our ushers come and all of our deacons can come on down, we are going to distribute the elements to you. And as we do that, I just encourage you to take a moment today just to think about where you are in this area of struggle we talked about, or what other issues you are. And if everything's going good, just take a minute to say, God, I thank you so much that I'm part of your family because of what Jesus did. So we're just going to allow our deacons to go ahead and distribute those elements in just one moment. So I hope you had just a minute to stop and think about life. Think about what Jesus has done. Remember what he's done for us. I know life can be really hard. We're going through a lot of stuff, you know, personally and as a family of God. But we praise God that we have a hope that we remember today that goes beyond life on earth. Jesus came. He died. Our sins have been paid for. The power of sin has been broken,
the Holy Spirit has been given, and we can live a life that blesses God and blesses the world. And we know that when we leave this place through death or through the rapture, we're going to be in heaven forever blessing God. And as we stop and think about the elements, I'm going to ask Deacon Moses if he would pray today for the bread.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love toward us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body that went to the cross for our sins. And as it was broken on the cross for us, Father God, we just ask you today as we gather here in your presence, as your body is the bread of life, as we partake of it today, dear Lord, let it serve as healing for us, to give us strength. For anybody that is here in this congregation that is weak, that you provide strength. We need you every second, every minute, every hour. Without you, Lord, we are nothing. And we are doing this, like you said, in remembrance of you. We bless you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you take out the element of the bread? And would you remember with me that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his all, his body and his life, that we could have forgiveness of our sins? We don't deserve it, but we sure need it. Today we want to remember what Jesus did and just praise him for it this morning. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. It's kind of what we do by faith, isn't it? Jesus' body covers that. And then they took the cup, and he gave thanks to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And we're going to ask Dennis if you would just pray for the cup right now.
Before I pray, I probably going to get in trouble for my wife. But as Pastor said, as we traveled through the week, it was tough. And often, it's a blessing to come into the house of the Lord and hear the word and understand and reveal what we've been through during the week. Speech. You know, often I think I'm a great listener. My grandkids often remind me I'm not as good as I think. And so does my wife. So I do apologize to both, to all of them.
Amen.
Because I'm not as good. I'm not perfect. And I don't try to be. So thank you for understanding me and bearing with me.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for bringing me into the house, giving me the strength and the abilities to be able to come here and listen to your word. I thank you, Father, for sending your Son to not only allow his body to be broken, but to shed his blood for my sin, for our sins, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for allowing your Son to be able to rise again, to prove to the world that death is not something we should fear, but we should glorify and look forward to his coming. So, Father, I thank you once again for this day. I thank you for being here with us. And I give all praise and honor to you for all that you've done for us, will do for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. By the way, thank you, Dennis, for sharing your heart. And that's what it takes us. We have to look at our hearts, all of us, right? And we could probably go around the room for the rest of the day and talk about, man, I really messed this up. But we praise God that the blood of Jesus Christ paid the penalty, broke the chains, and set us free that we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit and look forward to heaven. So let's partake together of that. We are going to close with a song. So I think our praise team is going to come and just share with us a song. And I want to say, if there's anybody got a need, anybody got an issue, anybody needs help, that's why we're here. to uphold each other. So if God spoke in your heart, you want to talk to someone, just invite you to come. Grab your neighbor as well as talk to one of our deacons or me. But we praise God. We're just going to close. In my life, Lord, be glorified.
Everyone, please stand and join us as we sing, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. In My Life.
That's our prayer. And in the power of God's Holy Spirit, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, even our words can be glorified. And my prayer and your prayer, I hope, is the same, that God will be glorified in all the facets of our lives. Father God, we love you. We want to thank you for what you're doing today. We just pray, dear God, that you would just work powerfully in us this week. Help us to really look deeply into our hearts for what's going on. And I pray, dear God, that we would become better, Lord, at our communication, Lord. That we would become encouragers, Lord, lovers of men like you are, I pray. Father, work in our hearts and our minds now. Help us in the week ahead. Help us to be salt and be light to those around us. Lord God, go with us, Lord. We don't know what the week will bring, but we know, Lord, that you will be in the week with us. Lord, we pray for your grace and your help now. And we ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.